Influencers is brought to you by
7Seas, start your day the right way. Soya Studios, located in the Flowers Plaza, Carmichael Road West. Carib Construction. The Beauty Barn, hair and beauty supplies, delivering beauty products straight to your door. WhatsApp 242-812-8500. Real-time sound studios. And Global Transformation Media, transforming you from the inside out. Welcome to Influencers on Guardian Talk Radio, 96.9 FM, and I'm your host, Lady Shima. And on this radio show, we take you into the world of leaders within Bahamian society and the global community to give you insight on how they use their influence to bring about positive change. We provide this platform for influencers to inspire our listeners with their personal stories on how they maneuver and strategize to still be impactful and influential even in this new norm environment post-COVID-19. It is our hope that the stories and the insight of the influencers we bring to you will inspire you to use the power of your influence to bring transformational change to your immediate environment, Bahamian society, and for some, even across international divides. And today, we delve into the mind of a Bahamian political activist who believes that he has the answers for many of our nation's societal woes. From his rebellious protest in 2001, where he handcuffed himself along with Omar Smith to the speaker's mace in disapproval of what they claimed to be gerrymandering by the then political administration, to in 2005, yet another act of political dissonance, where he, along with his party deputy leader, Mr. Smith, attempted to prevent the then Prime Minister, the Honorable Perry Christie, from entering Parliament in protest against what they claimed to be an abuse of constitutional authority, granting a government member of Parliament more time to appeal a bankruptcy order against him by way of a resolution. So now, after a political hiatus of 8 years as leader of the now revived Bahamas Democratic Movement, the BDM, influencer Cassius Stewart sits with me to discuss the Bahamas tomorrow. What would the Bahamas potentially look like in years to come under a BDM-led government? And we'll also get his take on several current hot topics. All this and more when we return here on Influencers on Guardian Talk Radio, 96.9 FM. Need your picture taken? Well, if you want it to look its best, then go to the best. It's Soya Studios, capturing your special events, portraits, passport, job, and visa photos. Plus, there's more. Also offering professional printing services of business cards, letterheads, signs, and banners. Opened Monday to Saturday, 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. and Sundays, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. It's a legacy. 28 years and growing. Located in the Flowers Plaza, Carmichael Road. Call 361-7786.
Start your day the right way. 7Seas.
Start your day the right way. Trust in the timeless tradition of 7Seas cod liver oil. 7Seas cod liver oil is a rich natural source of omega-3, giving you the essential nutrients needed to promote good health and help make sure you're looking and feeling your very best. Whether it's one a day, high strength, or traditional, with 7Seas cod liver oil, you start your day the right way.
Start your day the right way with 7Seas.
At Carib Construction and Project Management, we do three things. We give you exactly what you want at the best possible price while building at the best construction standards in the industry. So when making that big investment in building a home, apartment, or commercial complex, trust our over 20 years of professional experience in architectural drawing, design, and electrical. We even offer complete packages with property and construction included. See our impressive portfolio at caribconstruction.com or call us at 341-4466. Welcome back to Influencers, and I'm your host, Lady Shima. And with me today is leader and founder of the now revived Bahamas Democratic Movement, the BDM, influencer, Mr. Cassius Stewart. Welcome to the show.
It is always a pleasure to be here with you, and I know today we're going to have a wonderful conversation.
Yes.
And have an interesting time to be able to dissect the BDM's plan and what we see for the country in the coming years.
Yes, you know, you've been really, really visible, you know, social media, social media, social media, right? If you're not on there, you're not saying anything.
Yep.
And you've been very, very, very present and very, very bold with your stance and what it is that you have to say and what it is that you feel the Bahamas needs right now to bring about about the needed transformation that we need as a people, as a nation moving forward, especially post-COVID-19. And of course, this show is concerned with, in part, how influencers leverage their influence to bring about positive change. And I want us to start with that extravagant moment in history when you handcuffed yourself to the speaker's mace back in 2001. What or who influenced you and your deputy at the time to be such rebels? And what were you all hoping to achieve?
Well, we wanted to make a statement. It was always love for country, you know. And so what we had to do at that time was to demonstrate to the then Free National Movement that they said that they were going to revoice what the Pinlan administration did and revoice what the UBP government did. Because you remember now, the UBP was cutting up the boundaries. They had Harbour Island as two seats. And it was those times when they were gerrymandering and cutting at it. The Pinlan administration came and said they're going to change it. And for 25 years, they never did it. Ingram came in 91, 92 and said, listen, we're going to change it. 97, and they wrote it in their manifesto and they did it. They did nothing about it. And today, we still have the same thing. And so even though administrations after administration protest about it, now remember now, Pinlan threw out the mace for the very same thing because they were cheating in elections. And so we decided to do a demonstration on par what Pinlan did, because we wanted to show that our democracy was really handcuffed, our democracy was shackled, and we didn't have freedom of speech and of expression because the way they could manipulate the votes by shifting boundaries to suit their own needs. And so, you know, at some point somebody had to say something. And right now our country is 21 years later, we still have to shout and say, listen, we have to do something. Our democracy is still shackled. We are still bound, and we are not progressing the way we need to progress.
Right now, there is talk of the possibility of an addition of 5 constituencies for the upcoming elections by the Boundaries Commission. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, I mean, Shima, you've seen it over and over and over and over and over again, you know, and I could beat up my gum and say, you know, well, you know, with these guys, I mean, I understand what they're trying to do. It has to be a balance across the board because you have a shift in population in the Carmichael Road area where you may have 10,000.
So they want a reflection of
so
that.
So it has to be, you have to create the balance. And I understand that. Once it's equitable, see, for me, the Boundaries Commission should always be a body of individuals who are apolitical. In other words, you have retired judges, you know, probably a retired police officer, the clergy, who can come together and don't cut it because, oh, I want my people to win and I want your people to win. And I know how we do it, because I was in the Free National Movement when they cut the boundaries and they were cutting the boundaries, trying to save some people, which I was, what they call it? I end up getting caught in it in Bamboo Town.
Okay.
Because, oh, we was trying to save this one, but you cut the boundaries and somebody else got slaughtered. If you have independent minds that can look at, okay, how do we create a balance across all constituencies if we're going to make sure that the count is about 5,000 or 6,000. If the count is 6,000 across the board, then we can do that based upon the data that we have in each constituency, and we do it fair. But you don't do it because I want to pull this polling division in here because we won that polling division last time, and I know if we win this polling division, he could win this
election. So you believe that it's an unfair advantage?
Take it out of the hands of the politicians. Because the only thing they're interested in is suiting their own needs.
You believe that it should be an apolitical organization?
Precisely. It has to be an organization that does not have any political, outward political influence. Because you need to have fairness across the board. The same way we select judges, we select police officers, we collect select the constituency boundaries commissioner. These individuals have to be apolitical because we want fairness.
Okay.
And so the Boundaries Commission should also reflect the fairness as well, too. And so that's all we're calling for. But it seems as if these guys don't know fairness if it slaps them in the face.
So should the BDM win in the upcoming elections? This is obviously something that you're going to do, that you're going to execute.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're going to make sure across the board, we're going to make sure create fairness and create an equitable playing field for all political parties to come. In the coming years, we don't know which political party may die, may emerge, may reemerge. But you have to create a level playing field for all because, you know, our constitution provides us with the freedom to associate, to form and join a political party as we please.
That's right.
And so based upon that, you know, I don't know what's going to happen in 10 years down the line. We don't know if there'll be a PLP or an FNM. They may be gone forever. But whoever comes behind us, we got to make sure that it's fair for them as well, too. And okay. so that's all we're saying. For me, I have no skin in the game. Mm-hmm. The only skin I have in the game is having equity across the board in the Bahamas. And so we got to make sure it's a level playing field at that level. This is the political level.
So we need to think about national and political legacy.
Precisely.
Back in 2001, political rebel, activist, how has the Bahamas changed from that time to now when it comes to activism and the efforts being made by passionate activists and even self-proclaimed social adjudicators, arbitrators, if you will, in their fight against social injustice and inequality?
It's always good for a country when you have people who are fighting for fairness, equity, and strengthening of our democracy. It's always good. However, the party in power who perhaps maybe they'd be fighting against always thinks it's bad. If we're fighting to strengthen our democracy and we see as citizens some deficiencies and we speak out against our deficiencies, that gives you an opportunity as the government to look at those weaknesses and figure out how do we make it better. And so I think activism is something beautiful. But I also think that we need more of our people to be activists. We are social activists and we are personal activists. We row when we go home. Oh, we don't like this, what's going on. And we, you know, we don't like this. So we personal activists. We need more people to speak out because we need to, in developing our country, you know, our country is a young country.
To speak publicly.
And so as our country develops and forms, we need all of the voices to be able to shape it and carve it into the monument that we want it to be. But that can only be shaped and carved if you speak out, if you shout, if you say no, if you say yes. And so we need more people to be bolder and brazen to say, listen, I don't agree with that. I agree with that. I need this change. I like this. And so, but also too, activism is something where it's not always looking for the deficiencies. Where there is strengths, you play to that strength. Where there are weaknesses, we try to build up the weaknesses. And so it's all about making this ideal model called the Bahamas. In the building blocks of the Bahamas, each citizen is a block. When you lay out the tapestry, it can only be perfect if everybody's doing what they're doing. No one is inferior or far superior than the other. Everybody has a role to play. But when you spread us all out, we are all a block in this whole thing. And it can only stand together if we all together. And that is why our preamble says forward, upward, onward,
together. That's right. Talk to me a little bit about some examples and be very, very specific and detailed with your explanation and description of some examples on how activism actually moved this country forward in your lifetime. And that has also inspired you and what it is that you find yourself doing today.
Well, in my lifetime, I think activism has died down a whole lot. I do know that in the 60s, under the Pinlin administration, for Myla Butler, Sir Lyndon Pinlin, from the days of the protests with the taxi unions blocking the airport. And we have not had that type of activism in my lifetime. I mean, sadly, I mean, I've perhaps been one of the ones out there fighting more vocal than others. And we've seen recently, you know, other political activists starting
to make noise. We've had some activism with the taxi cab union the other day over there at Atlantis, to some degree. Yes.
You know, however, it's always watered down by whatever, you know. I think, though, when you are displeased with a government, I think you have a right to speak out. If my government is not doing what it needs to be done, a government should not be allowed to last at the detriment of the whole country. In other words, if you are running a five-year term, but in 2 years term, you are destroying the country, then the people should have a right to demand that you, listen, we need a new government. We should not be stuck with you because, you know, we have laws. Well, of course, you know how the rule works with people who are elected as MPs.
Yes.
But the people should have a right to choose or to want to force a new government. I'm not talking about a coup, but true activism, we should say, listen, I think it's time for us to call an election so that we can be able to go back to the polls to select a new government. But right now, we don't have that in place.
What are you going to do as the Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas to bring a specific change to that and saying, okay, the government is running the country amok. We need to get rid of this particular parliamentarian in order to see things on the right track. What specific change would you bring to the fore?
Well, right now, under the present law, there's only certain things that can cause a member of parliament to be fired. Either he's bankrupt or he's declared insane But I think we need to have more clearer defined rules which governs the rule or the term of a member of parliament. Mm-hmm. If you are not functioning, if you're not doing what they want, if the people wants to recall you, then you should be recalled because mm-hmm. we vote you in. Mm-hmm. You should not have tenure in a time period because you are the mercy of the people. Mm-hmm. Granted, there's a double-edged sword because, you know, the people could wake up tomorrow and you're doing a good job and want to get rid of you. And so it's a double-edged sword.
Yes.
However, you have to be able to...
But it has to be justified.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it has to be justified. And so, but you have to be able to create a democracy where the people who elect the members of parliament feel that they also have a part to play. My job is not only to vote on election day and that's it. In other words, if you're not functioning, then I should have a right to recall. Mm-hmm. And so we need to be able to redefine. And like I said, our constitution is not a perfect document. Mm-hmm. And this is what development is all about. We need to be able to, as we grow, tweak it and fine tune it so it can meet the needs as we evolve as a society.
Mm-hmm. Is there a constitutional reform that you have as the BDM that you intend to bring to the fore that you see is necessary in moving the country forward? To speak to the times that we are in today?
Well, a lot of things that needs to be reformed. I think the both Ingram administration and the Christie administration was trying to reform some of the discriminatory laws against females, mm-hmm, women. Mm-hmm. I think we need to go back at that.
Yes.
And that needs to be done, of course.
We're talking about that later on.
It has to go back to a referendum. Mm-hmm. I think the way it was sold was they tied these referendum in with other issues and they get buried in the other issues.
That's right. That's what happened.
And so if you're going to bring an issue to be able to create equity for women, just... Mm-hmm. Let that stand on its own.
On its own, yes.
Don't tie it into the gambling issue. Don't tie it into some other issue because it gets buried in the whole process. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I think that's one of the issues that we need to look at. And I think we just also need to strengthen our laws. So more so than constitutional issues, more of the statutory laws needs to be addressed as well,
okay.
too.
Mm-hmm.
One of the policies, and then also government policies. So you have laws, you have constitution, you have statutory laws, and you have policies.
Mm-hmm.
Policies also act as laws as well, too. Mm-hmm. And so one of the policies that we may have is that Bahamians cannot have access to own a casinos,
mm-hmm.
whether it may not be a statute law or it may be a policy
mm-hmm.
that has been standing for 47 years. How can a country yield resources
mm-hmm.
from the people in it, but we don't benefit from it? Or mm-hmm. we can't even have access to it,
mm-hmm.
you know. So we have to be able to have sensible laws as we develop as a people.
Mm-hmm.
27 years ago, when the Pinland administration came on board and they implemented the casino licenses for Paradise Island and so on, and they were perhaps dealing with a specific mindset at that time.
Mm-hmm.
But now we've evolved to a place now where we feel that listen, if Atlantis and Bahama could export hundreds of millions of dollars in casino license revenue,
mm-hmm.
Why can't that money be used for Bahamians?
What is the mindset at that time, though, that you believe led them to making that kind of law?
When you study Bahamian history and you would see how the license were granted, remember now, when the overthrow of the regime in Cuba,
mm-hmm.
Maya Lanz-Guindos came with Cuba and they came into the Bahamas. There's also deals going on in Las Vegas. So mm-hmm. all this was happening around the same time. It was the then UBP that was the mm-hmm. UBP that granted the license to these guys to have the casino.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, it was the way it was written in the books, it was some underhand dealings by that administration.
Mm-hmm.
And who got paid off and so on and so on and so on. So it was written in some of the histories of the Bahamas. At that time, that license still exists. So mm-hmm. it basically was just transferring of hands and so on and so on. So mm-hmm. the same licenses. However, we cannot have a country that is built on tourism, but the people don't benefit from it.
Mm-hmm.
For me, as a citizen, as an educated Bahamian that has a master's degree, that don't make no sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because if anybody is to benefit from your country,
that's
it
right.
should be its citizens.
That's right.
And so the tourism industry, which is our number one industry, most of the hotels should be owned by Bahamians. However, you got the Issus and Stewart's, Butch George, them mm-hmm. sandals, they're a Jamaican brand.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Jamaica is not number one in tourism. We mm-hmm. are.
That's right.
But they own the hotels in our jurisdiction.
Mm-hmm.
And now you see the Chinese are coming in with the Point, and now they own the Rio and so on, Bahama, and then also Atlantis and so on. The point I'm trying to make is, you know, when you're building a country, you got to frame it around its people,
mm-hmm.
not around the foreigners. While we appreciate foreign direct investment for what it is,
mm-hmm.
there's also domestic direct investment.
That's right.
I have some money in my pocket.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be able to invest So don't make it difficult for me to invest. Mm-hmm. So if he comes in and you could say to him, okay, I'm going to give you X amount of royal tax-free on this. I'm going to give you casino license free for 10 years. I'm going to give you marketing budget for the next 10 years. If you can give that to them, why am I suffering as a Bahamian?
So why do you believe that the previous and the current administration has done what it is that you just said? And that is to keep that kind of ownership out of the hands of Bahamians.
Let me tell you the first thing that came to my mind.
What is the first thing that came to your mind?
They must be drunk, you know, because I don't understand. When I looked at the Obama deal that the Christie administration signed, and I was reading my press release that I wrote almost 10 years ago, 15 years ago on it. Mm-hmm. I mean, you gave away $100 million for the acres. You forgave $7 million in debt. You gave up all these things. You say duty-free exemption in the tune of $150 million, but you're only selling the property for X amount. When you give away everything, you actually sold it for nothing. Mm-hmm. And so we don't seem to think. What we do is we allow them to tell us they're going to create X amount of jobs. And this X amount of jobs is going to cause an X amount of spillovers into the community and so on. So this long-term dream they sell us. Mm-hmm. But we're going to have to give up all of this up front.
Right.
And so we give up $100 million in duty-free
exemption. Major concessions.
And major concessions.
Yeah.
And then after you give up all these concessions, you know, some of the things that they promised don't materialize. And then they try to create these situations where we bring in Xbox in the place of Bahamians. And so nothing they say really materialize. While some money comes trickle into the country. I am of the mindset, Shima, is that as we grow, and I think we are now mature enough to understand that Bahamians need to own the Bahamas.
That's right.
And I am going to fight to make sure that if a Bahamian wants to develop a resort in Rumkey, in Exuma, in Inagua, if they want a casino license, they should apply for it and they should be given preferential treatment to get it.
That's right.
Because if I could give it to Atlantis, then I should be able to give it to Bahamian. Now, remember now, our preamble says that no woman, no child, bondsman or free, life should be frustrated because of deprivation. Now, I could preach on that for another year.
Okay.
Right? That
life
no
should be
woman,
frustrated life, because of deprivation.
How many of us have been deprived? You're depriving me of an opportunity that you gave some white foreigner. You gave him a casino license, but you won't give it to me. You roll out the red carpet to him, but you won't roll it out to me.
What do you say to those persons who say that they believe that this was done intentionally to deepen the divide when it comes to socioeconomics, because we're both of the same hue? I want to have a step above you. I don't want you to have anything, and I want to be of this particular class. Or because of corruption, because I'm receiving some underhand deal, some behind the closet deal. You don't know what's going on. It doesn't make sense to you, but it makes sense to me because I have this over here in my Swiss. And what would you say to that person?
You know, I agree with both of those arguments. Both of those arguments have some merit to it. However, I can't pinpoint any corruption to anybody, but I do know that when you look at all of our natural resources that has been exported for the many, 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 many years, right? When you look at certain families that have made hundreds of millions of dollars, you know, do you call that corruption? Yes, it's corruption. Because we cannot immortalize no former leader who have stole, took underhand deals on the back of the Bahamian people. We cannot do that. We cannot call you a hero if you made sure that your family benefit at the expense of everybody else. You can't do that. You can't be on our money if you made sure that your family's straight whilst the families in East Street starve. When I went to school, I didn't have no food to eat.
My God.
I had to budget $5 for a month, every month.
What?
And these fellas on the box, on behind us, and they made sure their family was straight. And so you can't do that. You got to make sure that your job as a representative, your job as a member of parliament, your job as a public service is to serve the people.
That's right.
How do we bring everybody up?
That's right.
Instead of your family making hundreds of millions of dollars, why don't we spread the wealth? And then we would eliminate that poverty class. Everybody now forming line to national insurance for $100. You know why? Because they broke.
And the middle class is disappearing. Literally right before our eyes.
The central bank governor said, The central bank governor said 90% of Bahamians, have less than 90 days' worth of money in an emergency.
That's right.
Right? Less than $300. Right? You know what that means?
Struggling.
The whole nation broke. 90% of everybody who have a bank account ain't got no
money
in it.
That's almost everyone. That's right. you know?
Don't tell me mm-hmm. that we should be quiet. Mm-hmm. Don't tell me that we should shut up. Mm-hmm. Don't tell me should we should stay in our lane mm-hmm. because the system has been rigged.
Mm-hmm.
In the game of the economic success, you know what it is? Them fellas starting at the finish line.
Mm-hmm.
Whilst me and you and the rest of Bahamians, we starting 10 meters behind the starting line.
Talking about starting at the finish line, you said a word over and over again just a few minutes ago, and that word was service, service, service. And we have something here that's been put here to serve the Bahamian people by the Creator, I believe. I believe that in his omniscience, I believe that in his omnipotence, that he gave each country, according to where it's geographically located, where he placed it, everything that it would need to succeed, everything that it would need to thrive, everything that it would need to sustain its people. And I believe that in the Bahamas, by and large, we have been greatly blessed. With that said, the natural resources. I heard a comment by the Attorney General, Carl Bethel, that really got my attention, the first reading in the Senate of the Biological Resources Bill. And I want to quote what he said here from one of our local dailies, open quote, "For the first time in our history, it will provide a means to fully regulate the exploitation of genetic and biological information gleaned from the flora and fauna of the Bahamian ecosystem throughout our country, which has been utilized in the past by cosmetic companies to make billions of dollars with not a cent coming to the Bahamian people. And this bill, when we get to it, you'll see that it is for the benefit of every Bahamian," end quote. Now, the part that really got to me when I read this is the billions of dollars in the past by cosmetic companies. Who is in governance?
But who's been Attorney General before?
Okay.
Don't tell me you just noticed last week.
Okay.
Don't tell me this is some big secret to you. You knew exactly. See, they know.
This is what the populace is saying. How are we just getting to this? You just came to this awareness?
You know, they knew all along, right? We negotiate some deals. When you look at the oil deal, 12% on the sliding scale. Mm. I mean, which brain do you have? How do you negotiate 12% of oil coming out of your, for you, and the rest for the man?
And this is why so many persons seem to believe and suggest that the only explanation that makes some degree of sense is that they smell a dead rat in the room.
It's been a dead
by
rat.
The name of corruption.
There's been a dead rat long time. And then they can give us this argument, right? Let me show you the argument. Oh, well, there's no money in aragonite. If there was money in aragonite, then, you know, if there was no money in it, why these people dredging all the time? If there's no money in it, then why people are still investing money into it? Don't give me that hogwash, okay?
But we now it's being said.
We used to be stupid, but we ain't stupid no more.
By the Attorney General himself.
Okay.
He said it.
Now, let me tell you what our policies are. Mm-hmm. I ain't gonna row them no more. I'm telling you what our policies are.
Mm-hmm.
Under the BDM, all exports of natural resources will be ceased.
All exports of?
All exports of our raw material will be ceased.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Anything that be exported from the Bahamas and our raw our natural resources will be made, packaged, processed, in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas.
In the Bahamas.
That's the new policy.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, that hundreds of millions of dollars with assault, now you understand. See, here I'm talking about, what they do is they use these pretty words, the flora and the fauna and the biological.
The
and
ecosystem.
The ecosystem, so but half of the country know what the hell you're talking about, right? Let me tell you what they mean, really. The salt.
We're an informed people. They do know now. The majority know.
That's
but go on.
That salt is yes. used in a lot of exfoliation creams.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of makeup.
Like they said, the cosmetic companies.
I'm dead on the salt.
That's right.
So when that company in the modern, they don't just only sell salt on your table.
Mm-hmm.
The salt they tell on your table is the low end.
Mm-hmm.
The high end is the salt for the ground for ice. They make hundreds of billions of dollars on that.
Mm-hmm.
Millions or billions, however they make it.
Mm-hmm.
Then also the salt that goes into these creams for your skin products. They make millions of dollars on that.
Oops.
So what we're going to do in the BDM is that we're going to make sure that all those products from salt, from sand, from aragonite, from oil, everything is made in the Bahamas. Now, our preamble says our national success will be guaranteed through a national commitment to self-discipline and industry.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have no industry. The closest we have an industry is Grand Bahama.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to make sure that there are industries throughout the Bahamas. So the cosmetic industry, it's coming to the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to use the natural resources to be able to feed that industry.
Mm-hmm.
And what we do is, how does Bahamian benefit from it? See, on in the value chain of any commodity, the low end is the raw material.
Mm-hmm.
You get $2 a ton. When you manufacture that same ton,
yes,
you can get perhaps $10,000 out of that very same ton.
Mm-hmm.
So what we want to do is we want to put Bahamians at the high end of the value chain. We want to make sure that the factories are in the Bahamas,
mm-hmm.
so that when we export, we can export our product throughout the world. Now, I've been sharing this recently. The Bahamas has already been party to treaties that allow us for duty-free import into the United States, called the Caribbean Basin Initiative.
Mm-hmm.
Any product manufactured in the Caribbean can get free imports into the United States.
Mm-hmm.
We also party to the Lomé Convention. The Lomé Convention gives us access to Africa and Pacific states from, mm-hmm. from the Caribbean.
Yes.
So now we could take that same cosmetic companies that we now have in Auckland, or mm-hmm. in Cricket Island, in Long Key, wherever we put it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we could manufacture and export it into the entire African continent duty-free.
Mm-hmm. This is amazing. Wow.
Do you know how much hundreds of billions of dollars we could mm-hmm. make?
That's right.
Some people are saying that we can give you $1,000 when we sell our natural resources.
Mm-hmm.
What we can do is we want to make sure that every Bahamian become millionaires.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we create a public offering on a company that's generating hundreds of millions of dollars and every Bahamian have shares,
mm-hmm.
then we change the game.
Okay, so we're going to be doing this through trade.
Trade. So what we're going to do is, see, our trade agreements already been in place. They've mm-hmm. been signed from the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
These agreements, we're just going to access them now. You know what our trade deficit is now? Mm-hmm. $2.4 billion.
Mm-hmm.
That's a trade deficit.
Yes.
We're going to be able to now cut that in half and have a trade surplus
mm-hmm.
because we are exporting now the salt mm-hmm. in all of the cold climates for road salt.
Okay.
We're going to be able to put, instead of Morton salt have made in the United States, mm-hmm. we'll probably change the name. It'll be made in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then also
probably.
To mm-hmm. getting into the manufacturing industry for makeup and cosmetics.
Yes.
We can make glass from sand.
Mm-hmm.
We can make all sorts of other commodities from our natural resources.
Mm-hmm.
We can make sisal from Campari and so on. Everything will mm-hmm. be made in the Bahamas.
So if the infrastructure, the resources, everything that we need, we actually have. It sounds like the problem really lies with the heart, the mindset of the powers that be, of the persons who sit in the seat that makes the decisions on how things are going to be executed, on how things are going to be done.
Leadership.
It's leadership.
Leadership.
Maxwell, one of my favorite sayings, that everything rises and falls
on leadership.
On leadership. And it is so very true because, you know, a lot of times when we hear and we listen, it's made to sound as though the problem is a lack of resources.
It's not a lack of resources.
But we do not have a lack of resources here in the Bahamas.
Shima.
We have a lack of management as it relates to the resources that we
have
here.
We have a small country.
Good and effective leadership in management.
We have a small country, 350,000
mm-hmm.
plus or minus, whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
If we create an IPO,
mm-hmm.
right, a public offering, on 10 companies, one manufacturing makeups, one manufacturing glass, one mm-hmm. manufacturing other commodities and so on, right?
Mm-hmm.
From our raw material.
Mm-hmm.
Every Bahamian has a share in it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what that does for every family?
Wow.
I'm not giving you 100,000, I'm giving you millions.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
we can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then what we're going to do is, we're going to be able to position an entrepreneurial class that takes over the region. Let mm-hmm. me tell you how we're going to do it.
We're going to be talking about that on the other side of the break. I have here with me the leader of the BDM, the Bahamas Democratic Movement, Mr. Cassius Stewart himself, influencer Cassius Stewart. And we are here talking about the topic, the Bahamas tomorrow. What would the Bahamas potentially look like in years to come under a BDM-led government? And he's going to explain that to us on the other side of the break, right here on Guardian Talk Radio 96.9 FM. I am your host, Lady Shima. You're listening into Influencers. We'll be back in just a bit. Need your picture taken? Well, if you want it to look its best, then go to the best. It's Soya Studios, capturing your special events, portraits, passport, job, and visa photos. Plus, there's more. Also offering professional printing services of business cards, letterheads, signs, and banners. Opened Monday to Saturday, 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. and Sundays, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. It's a legacy. 28 years and growing. Located in the Flowers Plaza, Carmichael Road. Call 361-7786.
Start your day the right way with 7 C's.
Start your day the right way. Trust in the timeless tradition of Seven Seas Cod Liver Oil. Seven Seas Cod Liver Oil is a rich, natural source of omega-3, giving you the essential nutrients needed to promote good health and help make sure you're looking and feeling your very best. Whether it's one a day, high strength, or traditional, with Seven Seas Cod Liver Oil, you start your day the right way.
Start your day the right way with Seven Seas.
Welcome back to Influencers. I'm your host, Lady Shima, and with me in today is influencer Cassia Stewart, leader of the BDM, the Bahamas Democratic Movement. And he said it to us, it was almost a year ago you've been on the show now. Time really flies.
Wow.
That you heard a voice from the heavenlies, and he told you, listen, that's not your idea. It's my idea, and it's something that I'm telling you to do.
Mm-hmm.
I need you to go to the fore, and I need you to revive, to bring to life again what it is that I created and mandated you to do. And we're talking about the BDM. What's happened from then till now? I mean, it's just been like a massive revolution, pun intended.
Yeah, we've been growing, and it's not been an easy job, but it's been growing. For me, I am interested in leaders. Our country has a shortfall in leaders.
Mm-hmm.
And when I mean leaders, I'm talking about people who really can add value to where we want to go.
Mm-hmm.
You see, in the New Bahamas, we have a policy, the BDM has a policy of the Bahamas being number one in everything.
Mm-hmm.
And in order for us to position ourselves as number one in the region, in healthcare, in sports, in education, in agriculture, we need the best minds.
Mm-hmm.
When you have people who want to run who is not qualified, technically everybody could run.
Mm-hmm.
But if you win, you're not qualified to become Minister of Health, Minister of Agriculture, Minister of Aviation, then we will have problems.
Mm-hmm.
Because we, in order for us to put forward people, we need the best minds to go forward.
Mm-hmm.
The trouble is with the Bahamas, the best minds always hiding behind some coconut tree saying, I'm ready, and I get this bill to pay, and I get this, and so on.
A lot of that goes on,
And so the people who really don't have much to offer per se are the ones who are up front making all the noise.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That is scary.
Mm-hmm.
I always tell this story, and what is frightening is that when you see the majesty of the Roman Empire,
mm-hmm.
Rome at that time, Rome represented the advancement of technology, literature, music, and military might.
Mm-hmm.
But the Roman Empire fell in the 5th century under an inexperienced leader called Romulus,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
by some hand of barbarians.
Mm-hmm.
When the barbarians came and they knocked on the doors of Rome and they destroyed Rome, when Rome fell, there was no one to catch it.
Mm-hmm.
So Europe went into the Dark Ages for 600 years.
600 years.
There was no advancement of technology and literature.
Mm-hmm.
Only in the period of the Renaissance that we see the emergence of new art and literature and music.
That's right.
600 years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so our country, the Bahamas, will fall.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, we cannot let our country fall in the hands of barbarians.
Mm-hmm.
We need leaders. We need leaders to step up and come forth now.
That example that you just gave, though, that fall happened with the Roman Empire as a result of what? An inexperienced leader.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the concern that some of the electorate has when it comes to, well, I mean, you're saying now, but when it comes to third parties, of course, not wanting to be referred to as third parties because of the stigma attached to it, but alternative parties,
mm-hmm.
okay, such as the BDM, and saying, yeah, y'all want to lead us now in a time of crisis. But do you really have the experience that it's going to take?
And see,
or are we going to be the second Rome once you hit the House of Parliament?
See, and that is my issue. My issue is, right, I don't want to put forward people in my party to run in the constituency who I don't believe could add value to the lives of the Bahamas,
mm-hmm.
or Bahamians.
Okay.
There are people who are saying that you don't have to have no qualifications to run. Just come run with me. You don't have to have no qualification. That is a most dangerous statement.
It is. It is.
That is an indictment on
us.
You
can lead the country not knowing anything.
No, I am not flying on the plane with a man who does not have a pilot license.
That's right.
In fact, I am not going to get my hair cut with a man who don't know how to cut hair. You got to be experienced.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And so for me, I have taken the time out to develop myself.
Mm-hmm.
I have an associate's, bachelor's, master's degree. I graduated 3.95 with a minor in marketing and economics.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Oh, wow. Good.
And so I graduated among the top 2% in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
I've been inducted into the Sigma Beta Delta Honor Society among all my management students in the United States.
You're qualified for the seat of the PM.
So?
You believe.
I've been trained.
You've been trained, okay.
I've been trained.
Yes. So do you believe that you can be a better prime minister than the Honorable Hubert Minnis?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Why do you believe that?
Let me tell you why. This guy let's look at your life. Look at my life, right? Somebody said to me yesterday from Abaco, he said, you know, these people want to run, but when you look at their life, they ain't getting on the show for it,
mm-hmm.
right? For me, I have been able to successfully build companies that are operating around the world,
mm-hmm.
right? And so what I have learned is I've been trading with China. I'm trading with Colombia. Mm-hmm. I have international business, international experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, over the last 10, 15 years, it's been a carving and a cultivating of my own personality, my own self,
yes.
developing. I've read almost probably 2,000-3,000 books.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Just so that I could be a better person.
2,000-3,000
yes.
books?
I've read the Bible about, I read that every year. So for the last 27 years, I mm-hmm. read the Bible. I've been reading it every year.
Okay. All
so
right.
So that's one
that's
of the
books. That's almost like 27 books in a way, but
yeah.
go ahead.
But for me, it's about the constant development of the mind, because
okay.
my mind is a muscle.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to be sharp, if you want to be the best, you gotta demand the best out of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, I don't look at what Minnis does or what Brave does.
Mm-hmm.
It's what I can do.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm not looking at their deficiencies or their inefficiencies. We all know what their inefficiencies are.
Mm-hmm.
We know that when they came into power, if I hire you as a CEO in my company and every time you leave in a term, I have more debt than you met me with,
oh, wow.
something is wrong with you.
Yes.
If I hire you to fix my social ills and when you leave, we have more social ills than you met, you know, we have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
20 years ago, 15 years ago, I said our national debt was a problem. It was $2.3 billion then.
Mm-hmm.
You know what it is now? $9.8 mm-hmm. billion.
That's right.
And
that's
it's projected
right.
to be $12 billion
mm-hmm.
at the end of the term.
Mm-hmm.
And so, in other words, the debt on the backs of the Bahamian people mm-hmm. has been put there by these people who we call leaders, and they are not leaders.
Mm-hmm.
They happen to stumble upon their position.
Mm-hmm.
We need people who have been trained and prepared.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not
can you say that for all of the candidates that you're going to be rolling out for the BDM for the 2022 elections?
You know, for me, I am digging up every rock.
You don't have a full slate yet.
No, we have about 70-80% of all our constituencies already ready
okay.
to go.
Okay.
The challenge is to the best minds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are people who come who want to run, but you know, But for me, you also got to give people room to grow
mm-hmm.
as well, too.
Okay.
It's not everybody is on your level.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody. And for me, it's a mandate. I'm trying to train them and teach them to listen.
Okay.
If you want to say you want to lead a people, you got to at least develop yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You got to make sure that you could have something to offer.
Mm-hmm.
What happened to the tree when Jesus went to it to pick a fruit and there was no fruit?
Mm-hmm.
He cursed it.
He cursed it.
So every time somebody comes to your life, there should be some fruit for them to pick.
That's very true. Let's talk a little bit about the vetting process. Let's talk a little bit about the vetting process because I believe that that is so very, very, very important because, you know, especially with this fear of a possible snap election, you know, you have some persons who think maybe it's going to be called, you know, a snap election in 2021 or maybe it's going to be remain, you know, where it's supposed to be in May of 2022. And so sometimes you find, especially with the alternative parties, in a little bit of a rush trying to fill out that full slate, you know. And then as a result of that, the vetting process tends to suffer as a result of
yes.
that. But these are the same persons who, if you by chance happen to win, they're now going to be manning and managing and functioning as ministers within the House of Parliament,
oh God,
okay?
Help us. Oh God,
as the Minister
us.
Of Finance, as the PM, but, you know, as the Minister of Housing, as the Minister of Agriculture and Marine Resources, as the Minister
oh
of
God.
Education.
Oh God, help
okay?
us.
Okay? And then they all of a sudden trying to study the Constitution, like, oh, I don't know what I should do. I don't know how to function
mm-hmm,
here.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Let's talk a little bit about the importance of the vetting process as it relates to really making up the
yeah.
whole slate and those persons who will, as a result of winning, possibly end up in the House
what
as
we,
leaders.
What we do in the BDM is we have an independent vetting process. We have a body that vets all of our candidates.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any say in who is selected as candidates.
Mm-hmm.
Once they submit their applications, they go before the committee,
mm-hmm.
and the committee vets them. Cassius Stewart, mm-hmm. had to go before the committee to be vetted.
Mm-hmm. You had to go.
I am the leader of the party,
mm-hmm.
and I had to go submit myself before the committee to be vetted.
Mm-hmm.
And I told them, the same process you give to everybody else, make sure you give it to me. And if
okay.
I don't pass, make sure I'm not a candidate.
Mm-hmm.
That's how serious it is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because we need to be the best. We need to be the best. Mm-hmm. In order for us to position ourselves, you know, when you look at our country over the last 20 years, we've had a national average of a D.
Mm-hmm.
20 years later, we still got an E, D, E. So we're not improving.
Mm-hmm.
How do we make the Bahamas the best in public and private school in the region?
Mm-hmm. Now, take note now that the Minister of Education, the Honorable Jeffrey Lloyd, he was on the same show, and he said that that is a result of us being on the different point scale. It's not the same point scale.
So, with the GCE, that was
a different point scale. Now, with the BGCSE, this is a different point scale.
All my years of being in school from grade one to university, I have a master's degree.
Mm-hmm.
It was always a four-point scale. A, B, C, D, four-point scale. It was a four-point scale.
Mm-hmm.
What we have done, though, is we've lowered the floor because so many people were failing. So we changed the point scale because so many people...
To accommodate
the failure.
Oh, Lord.
That's what we did. Mm. So our point scale is made up by them in the Ministry of Education because we had so many people failing that we don't have A, B, C, D, E. E is a passing grade. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I is failure. So we created a system that is disastrous.
Oh, wow.
You know, instead of us saying that we're demanding excellence from our student and we want to pull everybody up, we lower the floor so that everybody who's failing can still act like they're passing.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know when I was in school, in the public school system, it wasn't about whether or not you pass. It's that you got a social promotion. You're in grade 10, you fail, but you got to go to the grade 11.
Mm-hmm.
You're still failing, but we got to put you in grade 12 because some people coming behind you and we can't keep you because the classroom's too full. So if everybody fail, everybody still get graduated, go to the next grade.
Mm-hmm.
That is something that we cannot tolerate. How do we create a workforce like this?
Right.
And so for me, Shema, it is heartbreaking. Because we have to build our country.
Mm-hmm.
And the strength of our country is our youth.
Mm-hmm.
We got to make sure that their mental muscles are strong.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That when we stand on the platform with anybody around the world, whether it's a Japanese, a Chinese, a Taiwanese, a Bahamian, a Trinidad, we are the best.
There are a lot of nonprofit organizations and NGOs that actually really speak to that, you know. And their heart, their mission, their passion is to empower young people and to prepare them for the workplace and to prepare them for the job market. But what I hear from a good number of them is lack of financial support to sustain the program, to be able to resource the program. How is that going to be different under a BDM?
Well, under the BDM, what we're going to do is we're going to have all our non-governmental organizations registered with the United Nations so that they will be able to access international funding.
Okay.
I have been a part of several non-governmental organizations at the United Nations level. I was a goodwill ambassador to the UN for 3 years, and I served. I've sat in the General Assembly on two occasions.
Okay.
I've been serving to be a part of some NGOs and strengthening NGOs in South America, in Europe, in Asia. I've been to London, been all over the world, and I've seen how non-governmental organizations work. In fact, I was a part of a group of young people that created an organization at the UN for a particular purpose.
Okay.
Once we registered, we were able to get funding from Hewlett-Packard and the Ford Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
We were able to raise $75,000 within a short period of time to bring more young people to the United Nations to be able to fight for issues pertaining to young people.
Okay.
And so I understand how the system works because I've done it on an international scale.
Okay.
And so for these organizations here, we're going to show them how they could register their organization.
Source international funding.
And source international funding.
Okay. All right. Good. That's good stuff right
there. So they ain't going to be broke no more.
You know, I've really been smiling because I've had quite a number of conversations with, the leaders of these alternative parties. And I've been looking at the numbers. So I took a little bit of time and went back to the 2012. And I did this because I was thinking about the divvy when it comes to the electorate for the upcoming elections for 2022. And I'm thinking about the many alternative parties that are gaining power, that's gaining ground, that's gaining numbers. And I wonder whether or not you all are going to really be effective in doing what it is that you're going to do, or if by default, you might probably still put it in the hands of the established regime because of how the numbers are going to present themselves. For example, for the 2012 elections, the PLP, 75,815 votes, the Free National Movement, 65,000. 633 votes. The DNA, that was the launch of the DNA back then, 2011. Then they came back with 2012 with the numbers of 13,225. The BCP, the Bahamas Constitution Party, with 96. And then you had independents with 1,177. Of course, you know, you have that established grassroots for both the FNM and the PLP. So even if you just take into consideration the established grassroots, I'm not talking about new voters. I'm talking about them said who, no matter what's going on, they're going to vote their color. You can't change that. Nothing in the world can change that. When you look at the numbers of the established grassroots for both of the political regimes, giants of the PLP and the FNM, let's take a look at 5 years later in 2017. Now we have the Free National Movement with 91,000. I'm going to round these off for sake of time. Progressive Liberal Party with 59,000. The DNA going from 13,000 down to 7,577. Then the BCP holding its own at 315. Then the Bahamas National Coalition Party at 314. Now, looking at these numbers, looking at the percentages, and looking at, we have now the introduction of the Coalition of Independents to the Bahamas Evolution. We have the strong arm and the drive and the revival now, of course, of the BDM. You're very visible. You're gaining ground, gaining numbers, gaining support. Of course, the DNA, especially with the recent arrest of Rinte Komolafe, the leader, and some of DNA officials, gaining ground and gaining numbers and visibility. Realistically now, looking at these numbers and the breakdown with the 2022 elections, how really now, without an alliance between these alternative parties, going to really pull enough to win or even come near to? I wonder if anyone has really thought about this on this level. This is reality.
I mean, political analysts think about it all the time. You speak with Rentia Komolafe. She's very good with stats. She could tell you all the stats in the world. For me, I understand stats. You know, I got A in statistics at a master's level, so I understand.
And
statistics.
So this means?
And so it doesn't mean nothing.
You don't think so?
No. Let me tell you what it means.
Okay, tell me.
All right. I have seen the FNM. Mm-hmm. I've been in the FNM. I've seen the PLP. And the lie they try to tell you is the support they have. That ain't no true. Really and
so
truly.
So these numbers that I just read here.
No. Hold on. Let me explain it. You know, these people who will automatically vote for them. No. The PLP and the FNM has over time, through their resources, be able to captivate the majority of people and the majority of voters. In other words, last election, we would have seen that when there was just a Hubert Minnis and Peter Turnquest had no traction.
Mm-hmm.
And so the FNM saying that we won't vote for him, and mm-hmm. people weren't voting for him.
Mm-hmm.
But when Hubert Ingram came on the stage, of course, now he began to gain traction.
Mm-hmm. That's what happened.
So when you realize that, listen, it's all about charisma, it's all about marketing,
influence.
It's all about influence, then people begin, because right now in the 2022 or the 2021 election, I don't think anybody know how they're going to vote right now. Most people don't know how they're going to vote.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you knock on doors, people say they have not seen what they want yet. They have not had that, that's it.
The aha moment.
And that's what the BDM represents.
The aha moment.
Exactly.
The BDM represents the aha moment,
and
everybody.
So we have not said anything publicly about candidates publicly.
Uh-huh.
But when we announce, it's going to be glorious.
So you're going to be praying that there is no snap election.
It's the mic drop. They could call it tomorrow. Mic drop. That's it. It's over. And that's what we're working on. And so for me, it's about defying the odds, mm-hmm. defying what the statistics say. A part of our political process is not only our candidates, you know. We are vetting our ambassadors, too. You know mm-hmm. why we're vetting our ambassadors?
Why?
Because we're changing all of our embassies mm-hmm. into trade depots.
Mm-hmm.
No longer will our embassies be a retirement spot for retired politicians to go.
Retirement spot for retired politicians. Oh, Lord.
That's going to our embassies around the world are going to be agents of trade.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, if you are the ambassador to Atlanta, mm-hmm. or Consul General of Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
All of the trade shows that are going on in Atlanta, I mm-hmm. need you to report back to headquarters and let every Bahamian know who has a business
mm-hmm.
that if you want to be able to invest or come and get into the trade shows, they are available.
Here's how. Okay.
Here's how.
Mm-hmm. That's a great idea.
All of the ambassadors in China,
the trade shows
in China.
Mm-hmm.
I need our ambassadors. Don't go to the Live Good and mm-hmm. Live High off the hog. We're spending hundreds of millions of dollars on these ambassadors all around.
So you're going to be inspiring the entrepreneurial spit of Bahamians.
Listen. I go to trade
ownership.
I go to trade shows all over the world for my company,
mm-hmm.
right? And a lot of people don't know. When I go to Colombia, It's paid for by the Colombian government.
Mm-hmm.
But most people don't know that.
Wow.
So how many Bahamian businesses can benefit from the experiences that I have?
Mm-hmm.
But they don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So the ambassadors who are on the ground in these countries, I don't want you sitting there looking good. I want you working. I want you working to make sure you open up them doors so that Bahamian businesses can benefit.
Let's talk a little bit about one or two hot topics. I know today I attended a meeting, and what was discussed was the, you know, the vaccine, and you could sort of feel the tension just, you know, build as we discussed the Oxford AstraZeneca vaccine. Of course, there are concerns amidst a growing number of persons as it relates to the reaction to the vaccine, especially with those persons with comorbidities as it stands right now. And then also, too, with persons complaining about blood clotting possibilities in certain countries, certain first world countries even, they have actually banned this particular vaccine.
Yep, yep.
And of course, we've accepted it here in droves. Yeah. I was having a conversation with someone the other day, said that this particular experience is reminding them about how you go into the food store and you see export only, export only, export only. I was talking to them about what that really means, but I understand why that came in play. What are your thoughts, though, on the feelings of what's going on? And let's you get that shot in the arm.
Shema, I will confess, I was one of those persons waiting for the vaccine. I was saying
this particular one.
No. I was waiting for the vaccine.
The vaccine, yes.
I said when it comes, I'll take two in both arms. But why we go get the worst vaccine out there? I can say it like a behemoth. The worst vaccine. You know, you have the Johnson and Johnson. You have the other one. What's the other one called?
The Pfizer.
The Pfizer and the other one. You have the Moderna, right? Why are you going to get the AstraZeneca, the one that's causing problems all over the world, the one that all of the European countries have ceased to use, but you want to be the one to import it? We always...
The majority of them.
We always think like third world. Listen, we got to elevate our standards.
What about money issues? Just not being able to pay for it and having to take whatever is dished out to you?
No.
And saying, thank God you
but
got
if we
it.
Kill our, if we kill our country, then what? You understand? You don't know the long-term effects. While you may be fine now, but you don't understand the long-term effects of this vaccine.
What about medical officials saying that there are more benefits by far outweighing
you
the cons?
They lie in because they don't. Nobody has the information because nobody has the data. They are lying.
We're right now in a season of trials.
You understand? You cannot tell me what benefit, and you are lying.
Oh, boy.
And so we're not stupid. You may have a doctor's degree, but nobody has the data because the vaccine is just now being administered. And in order for you to be able to quantify your statement, you would have to have trial cases who have been to had the vaccine over a period of several years. And nobody has that. And so for me, if we're going to take the vaccine, my God, Mr. Prime Minister, get the best one. Stop treating us like we third world thugs. You won't give us anything. Remember now, Tuskegee experiment. When they ingested syphilis in these people.
Oh, yes. You know, yes.
We
yes.
Got
now
be,
that you say
you know,
syphilis,
we
yes.
Cannot, we cannot. This is one of the things that I hate. Let me tell you what I hate.
As so a, you think we have a prime minister experimenting with his own people?
As a third world country, what we do is we allow the worst meat to come into our country. We allow the worst products to come into our country. Under the BDM, we're going to make sure that every product that comes into our country, beef, pork, is inspected. If it does not meet our standard, it cannot go on the shelves and Bahamians will not consume it. Shema, about 70% of the people I know, all right? Most Bahamians have hypertension and diabetes. Most Bahamians know of or know a relative who already died from cancer. And like I said, my father,
plenty.
2 months ago, a month ago, just died from cancer. And so... What is killing us as a people?
Again, yes.
We have one of the most unhealthy society in the region. How do we fix that? We got to make sure that everything we eat is properly inspected. We got to make sure that the food that comes into this country is not genetically, does not have GMO products in it. We got to make sure that we produce only the best food for the Bahamas, which leads me to my next point, that we're going to create an agricultural sector that will be able to sustain our entire population. We got to grow our own food. We got to grow our own tomatoes and our own lettuce and our own carrots, our own celery. We got to make sure that we could use Long Island and Abaco to be able to create our own livestock, our cows and our pigs, without the heavy infestation of pesticides, antibiotics that they pump into these the chicken.
Because it's about profitability for them.
See, for us, it's about survivability. For them, it's about profitability. So they'll pump anything in and sell it to us and say export only. We are saying, hell no, that ain't gonna happen no more.
Mm-hmm. You know, I really believe that there is a challenge a lot of times when it comes to innovation, when it comes to insight, when it comes to creativity, when it comes to thinking outside of the box. Because I believe as a developing nation, and as a developing country, as a small island developing state, that it's not necessarily where we have governmental leaders who want their people to suffer. But we're doing this because we can't think of anything else to do.
Yep.
We don't know how to get the good vaccine. We don't have the money to get the good vaccine. So we have to accept what's being given to us. We got about 4 more minutes on the clock. Let's talk a little bit about this last hot topic, one of the more recent ones. You know, I was listening to a file report on my way up here concerning the arrest of the leader of the DNA, Orinthioko Malafe, along with 10 of her other DNA officials. And, you know, the commissioner of police, Mr. Paul Roll, you know, he said, and I quote, "I don't take instructions from politicians," and that he takes his cues from the Constitution of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. And he said that, you know, as a result of some persons suggesting that maybe this was politically motivated. I saw you standing in solidarity with the leader of the DNA. Why did you? And what did you learn from that experience? What did that say to you about our country?
Well, first of all, what I do know is that I think it's every Thursday. The commissioner of police meets with the prime minister
mm-hmm.
and give him a report on what's going on in the country.
Mm-hmm.
The prime minister blatantly said he didn't know nothing about it because he heard it in the news, which is a lie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to stop. See, these guys think we're stupid.
Mm-hmm.
We knew you meet with this.
Said he didn't know anything about it?
The prime minister. The prime minister, he ain't know nothing about it. He saw it in the paper. You meet with the minister, you meet with the commissioner of police and the defense force commander every mm-hmm. Thursday.
Maybe he didn't meet with him that Thursday.
Huh? You get your report. Mm-hmm. You get your report on what's going on in the country. And if you didn't meet, something wrong with you.
Mm-hmm.
You got to know what's going on in your country.
Oh, wow.
So the point I'm trying to make, though, is that, you know, I'm not sure. And because they have not really clarified exactly why they were arrested.
Mm-hmm.
Some were saying that they thought that they were trying to go into the House of Assembly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's clearly the video did not
show
that.
It was said the demonstration was an unlawful assembly. And they also added that the group attempted to gain access to the House of Assembly. Now, if you tried to forcibly gain access to the House of Assembly, you're going to be arrested.
Yeah. I mean, I've been arrested on several occasions for doing that.
Okay. So if that happened the way they said.
Yeah. Then, of course. However.
So those are the grounds upon which they said that they were arrested.
However, there are certain parameters in which we cherish our democracy. And one of those is the freedom of speech.
Okay.
We have to guard that carefully. When mm-hmm. you take away the freedom of speech from a people, then we become a police state. And then what you do is, you know, you take one freedom, you take mm-hmm. the other freedom,
mm-hmm.
and next thing you know, we're all in Alcatraz. When you try to take away the rights of a people mm-hmm. to express themselves, you are trampling on dangerous ground. The DNA, the BDM, the PLP, the FNM, when the FNM was in opposition, they protest.
Mm-hmm.
They fought.
Mm-hmm.
When the PLP was in opposition, they fight.
Mm-hmm.
We fight. Everybody fights. But if you're trying to stifle them because, you know, it's unlawful because you didn't get a permit and, because of COVID-19 orders and so on,
mm-hmm.
you know, look how many violations happens.
Mm-hmm.
And so what's good for the goose must be good for the gander.
It is time
for a revolution. Our country needs a new mindset, new leadership, because our future depends on us embracing great leaders who will take our country beyond where we are. And I believe that the BDM is the organization that will get it done. We are embodied with, we're not just a political party. We embodied a 40-year plan
mm-hmm.
to be able to take our country forward. And so for me, we are that aha moment. So listen out for the BDM. I know we're wrapping up, but thank you so much, Shima, for all you've done. Listen, go to our website, mybdm.org, and send me a message, send me a note, and sign up and join the revolution if you want to be a part of this. If you want change, you know, join the revolution.
All right, so there you go. The leader of the BDM, the Bahamas Democratic Movement, influencer himself, Mr. Cassius Stewart, as he spent some time with me to talk about the topic, the Bahamas tomorrow. What would the Bahamas potentially look like in years to come under a BDM-led government? So that's going to be it today here on Influencers. I'm your host, Lady Shima. Until next time, blessings.
Influencers was brought to you by
7Seas. Start your day the right way. Soya Studios, located in the Flowers Plaza, Carmichael Road West. Carib Construction. The Beauty Barn, hair and beauty supplies, delivering beauty products straight to your door. WhatsApp 242-812-8500. Real Time Sound Studios. And Global Transformation Media, transforming you from the inside out.